My message this morning is moving from marginal to maximum. Moving from marginal to maximum. And, let me look up there. Okay, yeah, there it is. Up there on the screen, you see a couple of cars. All right, I know I'm a guy, and we talk about cars and stuff like that a lot. But on the left side, there's an AMC Gremlin. An AMC Gremlin. Anybody remember AMC Gremlins? Yeah, did anybody have an AMC Gremlin by any chance? I want to ask before I start picking on that car. And I don't want to make anybody mad because I loved my first car, that's for sure. But on the right, that's a Porsche. And there's a big difference between those two cars. And if I had to pick one of those two, I'd pick the one on the right. How about you? But anyway, one of the things I want to do to kind of start this morning is just kind of compare those two. Does anybody remember the Ford Pinto? I've actually seen a couple of Ford Pintos still buzzing around. I'm surprised they haven't been hit from the back end and blown up or anything like that. But anyway, my brother had one of those, and there was some days, and this is a terrible confession, but there was some days when I was mad at him. It's like, boy, somebody ought to just hit him and blow that stupid car up, you know, or something like that. But anyway, the Ford Pinto and the AMC Pacer, and you see that Gremlin on that picture there. AMC had some real winners. They had the Gremlin. They had the Pacer, they had the Matador, all during that time. This was this particular time here was like in the 70s. A lot of these cars were coming out. Remember the Chevrolet Vega? Remember the that was a good one. And the Chevrolet Chevette, and 0 to 60 in 28 seconds, right? And then the Ford Fairmont. Remember the Ford Fairmont? Or how about the Chrysler Reliant K car? We had one of those. We actually buzzed around in one of those Reliant K cars. That wasn't, brothers and sisters, that wasn't a good time. That wasn't a good time for American cars. You know what I mean? That wasn't a good time for American cars. Not at all. And as a matter of fact, one of the things that happened during that time is because of the terrible cars that America was making. And if you owned one of these cars, I am terribly sorry. I did too. As a matter of fact, the thing that I can say about that is we had to drive something, right? We had to drive something. But that wasn't a good time for American cars. And as a matter of fact, they went on a huge decline during that time. And to be really honest with everybody today, what really happened was that's really when Toyota and Honda and all of those really started kind of moving into the American market. I mean, obviously they had some presence there, but boy, they really came in strong because they actually started making, I'm just going to say it, better quality cars. And that would make my dad really mad, by the way. As a matter of fact, my dad would not get in some of the cars before he passed away. He wouldn't get in some of my cars, and that's all I'm going to say about it. But, I mean, he seriously wouldn't. He wouldn't get in. He'd go, I'll just meet you there, and that kind of thing. And so anyway, it wasn't a good time for American cars. And what happened there is because of the shortcomings of the manufacturers at that time here in America, those people came in and competition came in. And that's what I want to say. And marginal has never been good for the advancement in business. If anybody in here was to own a business or you own a business, marginal is not what you want to do in your business, right? Like for example, if I was to say, let's all after church today, let's go out and eat. And when we go out and eat, let's pick the most marginal restaurant that we can possibly find. It'll be okay. It'll be okay. I was getting ready to say great, but I couldn't say it. It was marginal. And so as far as that's concerned, we don't want to have marginal in our lives. But you know what? What I want to say is, as far as our Christianity, it seems like today in our Christianity that a lot of Christians are really kind of okay with that because they're scared to go all the way with God. And what I'm going to be talking about today is a term called sanctification. And I just want to say that sanctification is the process that God works in our lives. Sanctification is the process that God works in our life to take us from just really kind of okay to really optimal, to maximum. And that's what we want to talk about today, is going from marginal to maximum. We want everything that God has to offer for us in our lives, don't we? And so that's what we're going to be talking about today. And what I want to say also is if a Christian and if churches and Christianity and all that's really going to be okay with marginal, what's going to happen is we're going to open the door for other things to move in. Open the door for other things to move in, like other ideas. I think this is one of the things that's happening as far as with church today, is a lot of it, we're just settling for particular things. I was reading a thing the other day about a friend of mine that actually has a podcast that he does, and he was talking about a particular verse where God uses the foolish things to confound the mighty. And what he was referring to is that he was referring to the fact that a lot of churches are like going to the flashing lights, and we're doing all the different special events and special effects and all these attractional things, and we're doing these things to try to what? Try to get some of the people that stepped out to come on back in, and give it a try. Or what I want to say is I don't think a lot of people that are alive today have even really stepped foot in church. What do you think about that? I mean, we keep thinking if we open the doors that people are automatically going to come in, and that's just not the case anymore. A lot of them are like, you know, I don't need marginality. And I got to say, as far as that's concerned, I would agree. But we don't want to be attractional about it. What we want to do, and what my friend was referring to the other day, was the fact that God in His Word and God in His power, that's the thing that churches need. That's the thing that human beings need. And what I want to say is I don't know that a lot of people even really realize that anymore. They don't know it because it's something that they haven't experienced. And so sanctification is certainly something that we want to do. And I want to say, because of that, because of the lack of sanctification that's going on and the lack of focus on God's Word and God's truth, a lot of other things are moving in. They're moving in. And a lot of these things here are actually having quite a bit of an influence on people. Now, one of the things that happens with the term sanctification, if you hear the term sanctification, a lot of people think, well, that's a set of rules that we play at church. I mean, the outside looking in hears that, and they go, that sounds like a bunch of set of rules. And honestly, a lot of people like going, so if I actually entertain the fact of being sanctified, that means that I'm going to actually have to live a particular way. There's going to be a set of rules. There's going to be some things that I have to do. And I don't think so. A lot of people are thinking, I hear this, and I think that if I become a Christian, for example, that there's going to have to be a change in my life, and I don't want to do that. Well, I just want to say this. If someone goes from being lost to born again, they do go from actually living one particular way to another way. But it's not because, I got saved, and so now I'm going to follow all these rules, and now I can't do this, and now I can't do that. It's something more powerful than that. It's something more powerful than that. What I want to say is when we talk about sanctification, that whenever we are born again or whenever we're regenerated, the Spirit makes us sanctified. We are sanctified, we are set apart for God, and the Holy Spirit lives in our hearts, lives in our souls. And because the Holy Spirit is there, we suddenly have another element. We have the power of God living in us. Think about that for a moment. So there's a change. There's a change and our want-tos. So it's not a matter of will I have to do this and will I have to do that? Will I have to get rid of sin? And if that's the case, then I don't want to become a Christian. What it is whenever we become a Christian, God's Spirit works in us and we listen to God's Word and our want-tos change. And God actually takes us from being something very marginal. And if we obey the Word of God and we obey the Spirit of God as He leads us in the Word, we go from not having to do something, but we get to do something. We get to live a particular way, and we have the power of God working in us. And we go from something that's okay to something very powerful. And what I want to say today is, as far as that process is concerned, since we are sanctified, then we enter the process of sanctification. And the process of sanctification is something that the Spirit of God and God's Word works on us from the point whenever we're born again till the very end of our physical human life. And whenever we allow that to happen, our lives change in a really remarkable way. You know, the idea of actually a lot of people look at the idea of something else becoming their Lord besides themselves actually causes a lot of people to turn away. and because people like to be the Lord of their own life. But whenever we become a Christian, there's something in our soul that says that Jesus is our Lord and that we are to obey Him. And when we do that, it's a good thing. This is something that we can't recreate in our own power. This is something that God does. But this is also something that brings about, because we are sanctified, brings out this process of sanctification that really starts bringing some really positive, strong changes in our lives. And has anybody else experienced that in the Christian life? Haven't you found that when you obey the Word of God and when you do what God wants you to do, that your life is better for it? And that's because of the process of sanctification is. And when we look at this here, the next thing I want to say is most of the time, people do not realize, if I do let Jesus Christ be my Lord, that's going to be for the better. A lot of people have this idea that I'm going to have to let go of something. They think it's something like being a Pinto or an AMC Gremlin, when really, serving God makes us that fine running Porsche when we're serving Him. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today, is actually this process of sanctification and how it takes us from marginality to something very, very powerful. Now, the next thing that I want you to do is to write in your notes 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2 through 4. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 through 4. That's what I'm going to start with in the Word of God today. In 1 John chapter 3, the Word of God says, "Dear friends, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet been revealed." In other words, the Bible's telling us that we're God's children, and God's going to make us into something really fantastic. God's taking us to a really good place. And listen, as you hear this, just like you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior through faith, accept His word on telling us that God's taking us to a good place by faith and see what God can do. And it's saying that it hadn't even been yet revealed. God's working something incredible in all of us. And it culminates where? In His kingdom in heaven. It actually culminates there. That's where it really goes to. And it goes on and says, "We know that whenever it is revealed, we will be like Him, because we will see Him just as He is. And listen to this. And everyone who has this hope focused on Him purifies himself just as Jesus is pure." That tells us, that kind of sets it up, and the reason why I'm sharing that verse this morning, that kind of sets it up to where we have to understand as a Christian that we are to actually enter in, now that we're sanctified, into the process of sanctification. Like Jesus is pure, we're to become pure also. That's the job of each and every Christian. That's the job of every church, every local church. Amen? So today we're going to explore that, and that's what we're going to be talking about, which leads to my first point this morning, and that is, number one, sanctification is good for every one of us. Sanctification is good for us. Let's talk about how it's good for us. Like I've said many times, becoming a Christian is not something where God intended for it to be the big cosmic killjoy where He's taking away all of our fun. As a matter of fact, if God created this world, then He created us, then if we'll do it the way that God says, we'll be optimal, not marginal. We'll be maximum, not marginal, as far as that's concerned. God is not a cosmic killjoy. God wants the best for each and every one of us. And the only way that we're going to understand this, brothers and sisters, is to trust Him in His Word and enter into this process of sanctification. Every one of us. Maybe you're sitting here today and you're thinking, well, I've been a Christian for a really long time. That's okay. We're not even going to worry about where you came from, where you are today. Let's talk about where we're going from here. And I just want to say, if we're alive and breathing, that the process of sanctification is something that we're to be doing till the day that we fully go to heaven and be like Jesus. And that's what 1 John is telling us. So we're to be sanctified. When we're saved, we're to be sanctified. And sanctified means that we're born again. We're set aside for Him, as far as that's concerned. And this means that leads to the process of sanctification. Now, the next verse that I want to share with you, and as far as sanctification is good for us, let's listen to James chapter 2 and verse 17 through 20. James chapter 2, verse 17 through 20. And if you're turning there right now, I just want to say this. There is power of the power of God working in the heart and the soul of every believer. There's power there. And so because we're sanctified, we're regenerated, we're born again, there's the power of God in us. This is not something to be set back idly. It's not supposed to be Pinto level or Chevette level or Vega level. It's something where it's designed to get us down the road and get us down the road in a hurry, so to speak, in a strong way. In James chapter 2, verse 17, James says this, "So also faith, if it does not have works, is dead by itself. But someone will say, 'You have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I will show you faith by my works.' You believe that God is one? Well and good. Even the demons believe that and tremble with fear. But would you like evidence, you empty fellow, that faith without works is useless?" He's asking the question. Did you realize that the Christian faith without works is absolutely useless? So I'm even being kind when I say marginal. James says useless. And so here's something that we need to talk about for a moment. Is James talking about works as something that saves us? No, not at all. Not at all. What James is saying is when we become a Christian, whenever we accept Jesus Christ by faith, we've been given faith, and if we've really been given faith, listen, if we've really been given faith, then what comes out of faith is works for God. Why? Because the process of sanctification means that there is something on the inside of every one of us that wants to do what? That wants to move closer to God, wants to operate more in God's power and less in their power. We all know there's a battle between the flesh and the spirit. But there isn't a battle between the flesh and the spirit before we're born again. Before a person's born again, there is no power. There is none. We all understand that, right? But once we become a Christian, we have God's Spirit empowering us, and His Word empowers us, and God speaks to us, and God makes some changes. And so what happens in a Christian is they start serving Him. There's a want to in the heart of every one of us. Listen, I got to tell you, I want to see souls saved, don't you? I want to make disciples, don't you? I want to please God. I want my home to be godly, don't you? I want to see God glorified in this church, in this city, in this state, and in this country, and in this world. Why would I want such a thing? Why would you want such a thing? Because we've been born again. And there's something in us that says that's the right thing and that's the best way to go. But you know, here's the thing. It's not just like we get saved and we go, okay, I'm saved, so I'm completely changed and I'm completely empowered and I can do just everything. No, there is something called sanctification that we actually continue to move closer because we are sanctified. Sanctification is something the sanctified person does. Does that make sense? Hopefully that makes sense. So anyway, James says, when we're born again, if we really have faith, there's something in our faith that makes us want to do what? To work for the Lord, to want to please Him, to want to do what He says. And so sanctification is spurred on by the Holy Spirit when we're regenerated. You know what? We don't have to worry about now as a Christian. We shouldn't have to worry about if we've really been saved about, I don't want to's. Though I don't want to's. To, I want to. I want to serve God. I want to read His Word. I want to go to church. I want to do this. I want to do these things for God. Not because I went to church today and preacher said, or Sunday school teacher said, that I have to do this. So if I'm going to serve God, I have to do this. You know, you remember when you were a kid, your parents said, in the next 2 hours, and we'd hear like 2 hours and we'd look at our room, in the next 2 hours, I want this room clean. Anybody ever heard such a thing when you were a kid? In the next 2 hours or next hour, or I don't know what kind of time limit your parents put on you, but they said, by a certain time, I want this room clean. That used to terrify me because I'd be like, man, I don't even know where to start. I don't even know where to start. And now I only get 2 hours? And the weird thing is somehow we were able to look at that 2 hours and get it done in that 2 hours for some reason. But what God tells us is it's not just a matter of you know, you have to do these things. You have to have your room cleaned spiritually in the next 2 hours. God says what we're going to do is we're going to go on an adventure. We're going to get some things done. We're going to see some souls saved. We're going to make some disciples. We're going to see God's power working. That's the idea behind Christianity. And that's where we need to go. If we're not there, that's where we need to go. Because that's what it's supposed to be. That's the way that God's Word tells us it works. In other words, listen to this. When we're born again, we have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit works with the Word of God. Born again, Holy Spirit, Word of God. And what does that mean? What does that mean? That means we are in the process of sanctification. We're in the process of sanctification because we're born again. We're sanctified. And sanctified people need sanctification. And so born again, and we have the Word of God and the Holy Spirit working, that produces activity. That takes us down the street. That makes us into something better and better as a Christian every day. Everybody in on that? Okay. So anyway, here's another verse for you. It's 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 and 25. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says this: He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we may cease from sinning and live for righteousness. One of the things that happens, Peter tells us, that whenever we're born again, is we cease from sinning and we start living towards righteousness. You say, well, there it is. There it is. That's God. And there he is as the cosmic killjoy. He's telling us, okay, you can't sin anymore. Now you have to live for righteousness. And what I want to tell you is, if you think that way, you're thinking like a lost person, to be honest with you. Thinking like a lost person, if you think that way. What Peter's saying is, we don't have to live that way anymore. We get to live in righteousness because God's going to give us power that we didn't have before to get something done. Sometimes people like go, man, Christians, all these rules and stuff. It's not rules, brothers and sisters. We want to live for God, and we're living in His righteousness and His power. But that's going to require us to do what? To actually trust Him when God tells us this. He goes on and says, by His wounds you were healed, for you were going astray like sheep, but now you have turned back to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. Now, I want to just stop here for a moment and look at a couple of things. The first thing that I want you to see is he says that we cease from sinning and we live for righteousness. That's one thing that I want everybody to get, is whenever we are born again, we cease from sinning and live for righteousness. That's the first thing. Now, look at the next thing that he says there. Then we were astray, turn back to the shepherd. You say, turn back to the shepherd? Yes, turn back to the shepherd. Listen, when God created everything, he created everything to actually do what? To actually fellowship with Him, to actually live for Him, to do what He wants us to be doing. Okay? That's what God originally set things for. And so we went astray. We went astray. We went astray in sin. And what does God want? He wants us to no longer be astray, but return to Him. And that's what Peter's saying. He's saying, hey, we once were astray, but now we're returning to God. We're going back to the way that we were made to be in the first place. What was happening is there had been some infiltration of the devil and this world system itself that was actually making us marginal. It was making us, something that wasn't working right. But God says, I'm going to make you something maximum, that we're going to actually get some things done, and we're going to have power in our lives, and we're going to have power over sin, and we're going to have victory. And that's what he's saying there. So that's the next thing that we see. But then there's this last thing that I want you to look at in there, and that is we turn back to the shepherd and the guardian of our souls. Do you see that down there? And the guardian of our souls, the Word of God says. Well, this guardian actually comes from a word called that comes from the word epitropos. And what that word actually means is it's something that is a steward or responsible. A steward or responsible. So the guardian that's being talked about there is saying that Jesus is our guardian. He's the steward or the person that's responsible for our souls. Now, I read that and I got excited. You know why I got excited? Because I just want to tell you something. If somebody tells me that once I'm born again, that somehow I can lose my salvation, and then I look at the fact that Jesus is the guardian, Jesus is the one responsible for my soul, who is powerful enough to take me away from Jesus? Nobody. He's the guardian of our souls. So if we've really been born again, Jesus is the one that's responsible for our souls. He's the guardian for our souls. He's the one that's in charge of our souls. And so what we see here is another reason for one thing to be secure, but another thing is it's telling us that we have a new nature. We're a new creation. We're a new person. And this new creation and this new person is protected by Jesus himself. He's the guardian of our souls, which means he's taking us into another level that keeps us from being infiltrated, which leads to my second point this morning. My second point this morning is this. This is not just an idea. This is not just an idea. You know, like in business, a lot of times they go, hey, our business hasn't been working very well lately. And so we're gonna shake things up and we're going to move things around and we're going to make some changes here. And because of these changes, then we're going to see if we can't make it work right. We're going to try something new. We're going to try something new. And I just want to tell you, what I'm sharing with you this morning is not just something new that we're going to try. You know, everything hasn't been working right, so let's try this one. Well, what I want to say is, if things haven't been working right for the Christian, if things haven't been working right for churches, it's time for us to get back to what God intended in the first place. Did you see it? When he said, those had been astray, return. We are returning back to God's ways. And so this is not just an idea. This is the modus operandi of the Word of God. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9 says, everyone who has been fathered by God does not practice sin, because God's seed resides in him, and thus he is not able to sin because he has been fathered by God. There's something that happens in the heart of every Christian when we're born again, where God's seed takes over our soul, we're regenerated. And on the inside, brothers and sisters, we are righteous. There is no sin in there. So what is the point of that? What's on the inside needs to permeate on the outside. That's what sanctification is. It's taking what God has done on the inside and start working on the outside. In other words, returning us back to where we were supposed to be in the first place before, you know, while we were out astray and those kind of things. This is what makes it possible. This is what makes it possible for us to grow and to excel. Not just grow, but to excel for Christ. The fact that we've been born again, the fact that we have the Holy Spirit living in. It's not just an idea. A lot of people are like, okay, so what do I do to grow? Okay, so I've got to give up this, and I've got to give up that, and I've got to study the Bible, and I've got to come to church, and I've got to pray. These are all things that you don't have to do. You want to do because you've been born again, and God gives you the want to. And all I'm saying today is obey Him. I know one of the things that happens, like when we get ready to do a hard job, like yesterday, for example. Yesterday, my plan was, I'm just going to sit back and chill, go over my sermon a little bit, take it easy. But then my wife started talking about getting the tiller, and we're going to till, and we're going to put some dirt out, and we're going to do some of that stuff. And then, by the way, those sage bushes over on the side of the house, they're getting kind of woolly. So I want you to crawl inside those things and start cutting up your arms and, you know, getting all bloody and everything, get rid of those things and trim them up a little bit and spruce them up. Well, that didn't sound like too much fun. But as we got to doing it, I was like, hey, hard work, here we go. And we started doing it. And that's the way it is with hard work, isn't it? At first, it's like, hard work, you know. But the thing is, there's something rewarding about it. There's something rewarding about it. There's a few people that have been doing a lot of hard work around this church. And they've got to feel something really rewarding inside, seeing some of the changes that are taking place for the better. Amen? But the idea of it at first is like, oh no, that's too much. But this is what we do with the Word of God, is we like, I hear what God's telling us to do, and we act like it's something that's going to be so tedious that I just don't know if I want to do it. But what I want to say is, trust Him. Trust God when He says, this is the best way for you to go from being marginal to maximum. And that's to become people of prayer, to become people that obey the Word of God. Trust what your soul is telling you. If you're born again and the Holy Spirit's saying, this is the way to go, quit questioning it and just trust Him. And if we'll do that, it'll happen in your life, It happens in a church's life. They take off, and we go from being something marginal to something maximum. Serving God is rewarding. It's not, oh, the preacher said serving God's rewarding. Okay, serving God is rewarding. Write it down. You go, I don't know. I haven't been rewarded yet. Obey him and see if it's not true. And that's what the Word of God's telling us is this is something that when James says, hey, because you have faith, you have the ability to do these works. Nobody has the ability to do the works of God outside of having the faith that God gives us through being born again. Do you understand that? What happens to the person that tries to serve God without the power of God? They quit. They quit because there's not the reward in it. There's not the reward in it. But brothers and sisters, the reward's in it for us that know Jesus Christ as our Savior. This is what makes it possible. The fact that we're born again and then the process of sanctification causes us to actually go to a level of service towards Christ that we've never gone before. Here's the thing. There is such a conversation with a lot of Christians like, you know, I was just serving God and I was just kind of going to church every once in a while and I'd gotten saved and I really wasn't doing anything. And all of a sudden one day the Holy Spirit started speaking to me going, you know, it's time to get really serious about this thing. And then you did that and the next thing that happened is your life was taking off for Christ. Has anybody ever experienced that before where you thought in your heart, I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I need to go higher with Jesus. I need to go somewhere with Him. I need to experience His power. And that's what this is talking about here. That's what the Word of God is telling us. And so what I want to say is that the Spirit of God does not take an inactive role in the human being's life. If you have been born again, you have the Holy Spirit living in you. The Holy Spirit's not going to be inactive in your life. There's going to be a constant going, excuse me, that's going to be destructive if you do that. Excuse me, what we need to do is this. We need to do this, this, and this, and this. And that's not God saying, excuse me, I don't want you to have any fun. It's the Holy Spirit telling you, excuse me, I want you to actually have fun. I want you to actually experience life the way that I, God, created it to be. How about that? And so that's something that we need to understand as far as that's concerned. Now, I'm going to read to you a few verses here. Get this little bug that's buzzing around my notes out of here. Get out of here. Go away. Romans chapter 8, verses 9 and 10. And I'm also going to read verse 14 and also verse 16. I want you to listen to Romans 8, 9 and 10, verse 14 and verse 16. It says, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And so I ask you this morning, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Are you born again? And because if you are, the Word of God is telling us, if you are in the Spirit of God lives in you. That's not something that we just decided to do one day. As a matter of fact, we have nothing to do with that. That's God Himself that did that, that placed Himself squarely in your soul. It says, now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, this person does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is your life because of righteousness. In other words, you've gone from being one thing to a complete another, so to speak. And it's been because you are a new creation now. And now you are created to actually accomplish some things, actually take you from being marginal to actually maximum. You have the ability to do it. We have no idea what God can do when we're yielded to Him. Seriously. I heard the other day somebody said something like, you know, I'm such and such age, and I've never led anybody to Jesus Christ before, not one time. And I just want to say, if you're alive, there's still time. And you really ought to experience that because it will change your life. And it should change our life to where we go, I did it one time, but I quit 20 years ago. The Holy Spirit's got to be saying, that's not enough. Let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. Let's do this. And then it goes on and says, in 14, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery leading again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness to our spirit that we are His children. The Word of God is telling us something really important. And sanctification is a part of the Christian's life. And God's Spirit makes this possible because we become His children and we work in concert with God's Word and God's Spirit. In other words, this means we need to be yielded to God and let Him have control. And when we do, we're no longer going to be that Pinto buzzing around, but we're going to be like that Porsche going whoo, down the road for Jesus. I know it's a guy thing. I can't help it. I'm a guy. Yes, I am, and I know it, and I'm not a biologist. God makes it possible for us to be the tree that, listen to this, yields fruit. How do I know this? Because the Bible tells us in Galatians 5, 22 and 23 that whenever we're under the control of the Holy Spirit, we do what? We produce fruit. So the question is, do you see fruit in your life? And if you see fruit in your life, it's because this process of sanctification is, our car is running the way it's supposed to be running, so to speak. Sanctification is taking place, and we see fruit taking place. Sister Jerry said she's taking my watch away from me, by the way. So if I preach long, it's because Sister Jerry took my watch away from me. I'm just kidding. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, Paul says this, "So then, my dear friends, just as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but even more in my absence, continue working out your salvation with awe and reverence. For the one bringing forth in you both the desire and the effort for the sake of good pleasure is," do you see it? Who is it? It's God. God's the one that's working in us. He's the one. And so it's saying here, to work out our salvation. Once again, we looked in James, and James says that if we have faith, we have good works that happen. It doesn't say that we're saved by good works. I got to clarify that. It's important. Because these two verses that I'm actually really sharing with you, that one in James and this one here, a lot of people like to say, this means you work for your salvation. No, this means we're saved, and so we work. And then this one here is saying that God gives us an incredible desire to serve Him because we are saved. We are sanctified. Because we are sanctified, we enter into the process of sanctification with God and let Him be in charge of our lives and trust Him. And He's trustworthy, and He's good for us, and He wants us, our lives to be maximum. That's for sure. Listen to this. I can't believe I'm going to say this as a preacher, as a Baptist preacher. It is not attendance in church, but the result of what we attend for that makes a difference in our lives. Yeah, I said it. I was wondering if you were in here, Sister Jerry. I see you there now. I was wondering if you were there to hear me talk about the watch thing. But I want to say this again. It is not attendance in church that brings the result. It's the result that comes from why we're there. It's the process. Why do we come to church? We come to church because the Bible says we should go to church. Check. No, it's we go to church and we hear the Word of God spoken to us, and it makes God makes the changes in us. We get around our brothers and sisters and they say, hey, it's so good to see you today, and it's so good to worship with you, and it's so good to sing with you, and it's so good to learn with you, and it's so encouraging. And God's Spirit and God's Word makes a change in us. That's what it is. A lot of people go, man, if I get saved, I'll have to go to church. You don't have to go to church. You should go to church because of what happens because of church. And if it's not happening, then it's time that we get Spirit-filled where it will happen. Right? Where we can be maximum. And so it's the same way with prayer. And it's the same thing with the study of God's Word. Those things are not things that we have to check off because we're serving Christ. It's because we are born again. We want to pray. We want to study. We want to assemble. We want to fellowship. We want to make disciples. We want to do this. Why? Because the Spirit of God is working in us. And if that is not happening in you, it's time for you to do a checkup. Your car maybe ain't running right. If those want-tos are not in there. Well, that wasn't nice. Well, I just got to say this. In your own car, do you get your oil changed? I hope you do. When your car is not running right, do you get it fixed? Do you get mad about it? Do you get mad at me about it, that is? And what I want to say is, don't get mad at me if I tell you that if your spiritual life ain't working right, maybe we're not praying, and maybe we're not studying, and maybe we're not fellowshipping, and maybe we're not discipling, and maybe we're not evangelizing, and maybe we're not doing these things that God says are the things that makes you run right. This is what we're designed for. Amen? Maximum, not marginal. So, transformation in the midst of the world, transformation in the midst of the world that we live in is the way that it happens whenever we're in the process of sanctification. The next verses I want you to listen to is in John chapter 17, verse 13 through 19. Listen to what Jesus says here. But now I am coming to you. This is a prayer. But now I'm coming to you, and I'm saying these things in the world so that they may experience my joy completed in themselves. Jesus is praying to the Father, and he's saying, Father, I want my children to find joy, where? In this world. This one. But we're not supposed to be happy till we get to heaven. That's not what he's saying. He wants us to have joy now. He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Now, not later. I mean, certainly later. But why not now? I mean, if it's okay with Jesus, is it okay with us? I think so. But he goes on and says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. He says, I've given them the word. The word is the thing that makes the difference in our lives, that really kind of makes us the others to oppose us. Because we're going by what? We're not going by the rules of the world. We're going by God's rules. You see that? And he goes on and says, I'm not asking that you take them out of the world, but you keep them safe from the evil one. Everybody thinks I'm a Christian, and so somehow I've got to disappear from this world. No, you don't. You've got to go to work. You've got to go to school. You've got to talk to your neighbors. You've got to go to the grocery store, whichever favorite grocery store that you have. You've got to go there. We've got to live in this world. Well, Jesus knew this, and he says that he doesn't want us out of the world. He wants us to be able to operate in this world in a way that others see that's maximum, not marginal. And so they don't like us. Why do they not like us? You Christians think you're better than me. No, we don't. We're just trying to obey Jesus. And that makes them mad. Because there's power there, right? No, we're just like them. Well, it's time for them to actually see some power then. Man, if they're like, hey, we're all the same. We all act the same. We all drive down the road the same. We all sputter around together. Then it's time for us to get a tune-up and get going. He goes on and says, they do not belong to the world just as I do not belong to the world. Set them apart, and do you see it? Set them apart in truth. The thing that changes us, that sets us apart, is God's truth, God's word. Your word is truth. Just as you have sent me into the world, so I send them into the world. And I set myself apart on their behalf so that they too may be truly set apart. Jesus is saying he wants us to be in the world that we live in. He wants you to go to school. He wants you to go to work. He wants you to live life like everybody else. But he wants you to do it in a way where you're living according to his word. That's his prayer. So why did I say that? I said that because a lot of people go, well, I want to go to heaven and I'm saved, but I don't want to do anything else. Okay, but that's not maximum. That's just marginal. And nobody's going to see Jesus through marginal. If you were to ask me right now, will I trade my little two-seater car for a Ford Pinto, I would tell you, I really don't want to. And I think at this point, everybody knows why. This is my third and final point this morning. Not only is this something that happens, the inward man yearns. Listen, the inward man, the person that's born again on the inside, the inward person yearns for God's ways, yearns for God's ways. The I don't want to work on the outside, there's something on the inside that says, yeah, but if I do, it's going to be so good. It's true. So when we're born again, there's something inwardly crying out, yearning on the inside for God and God's ways and God's word. And so a lot of people and a lot of Christians are actually going through life, and they're going, man, I'm serving God, but I'm really not feeling the satisfaction of serving God. And I just want to say, there's a yearning on the inside to obey His word and to live for Him. And if we'll go ahead and surrender and let Him be in charge, you might find that it's a good thing. You say, you're talking to me like I haven't done this. Man, all I'm saying is if the shoe fits, wear it. If it doesn't, don't put it on. I mean, if you're already cooking with gas, then don't let me add more gas to it. But if you're not, here it is. Did that make sense? Okay, just had to make sure. John 15:5, Jesus says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him bears much fruit, because apart from me, you can accomplish nothing. Anybody tired of nothing? I'm tired of nothing. And the Bible tells me, and I've got to take God at His word. He says, if I abide in Him and Him in me, a lot of things are going to happen. And outside of Him, nothing's going to happen. And you know, it's the people that say, but if I serve God, I've got to give up my sin. I've got to give up my life. And Jesus says, apart from Him, we can do nothing. If you want nothing, go for nothing. But if you want greatness, abide in Jesus. A person who's involved with sanctification desires a godly church. Not a country club, a godly church. A person who is involved with sanctification desires fellowship with their brethren. Now, I don't like my brothers and sisters. I don't like them. I don't like hanging out with them. Man, there's no Spirit of God in that statement. Not one bit. Because the Spirit of God speaks to us and says that we're a family that God's put together. God's the one that brought us together. I don't like that. Tell it to Jesus. Because that's what it says. The Bible lets us know. A person who's involved with sanctification desires to make disciples. How do I know this? It's because Jesus, our Savior, said to go and make disciples. A person who desires sanctification will evangelize. Why? Because they have a burden for lost souls. A person who desires sanctification loves to pray. Now, if you didn't notice, those are the five pillars of the things that God's given us, the vision of a church. Discipleship, evangelism, worship, and prayer and fellowship. Those are all things that happen not because we decided to have a vision, but it's God's word that tells us that when those things are involved, we live a fulfilled life. I think a lot of times we're doing church and we don't feel fulfilled because we're not even doing what we're supposed to be doing. We're just playing something called church. And here's another thing. In the process of sanctification ends churches and lives of divisiveness. So-and-so is so divisive. They're always causing problems. I just want to say, walking in God's Spirit gets rid of divisiveness. It does. Salvation sanctifies. Salvation brings about regeneration. Salvation makes us justified and makes us the person and our soul that wants the process of sanctification to occur. Is that making sense? In other words, making our lives meaningful, joyful, and purposeful. All right, in conclusion, the born-again person should have a hunger for growth. The born-again person should have a hunger for growth in their life. A born-again person should have a hunger in their soul for transformation. Not because I said so, not because that's the rules. This is the power of God. The power of God. And us obeying God's Spirit. obeying God's word. And that makes us our lives meaningful, joyful, and purposeful. It does. You know, I was thinking about in the book of Acts, when the church first began. Think about this for a moment. When the church first began, what happened? When Jesus first introduced the church, so-and-so got saved, and then so-and-so got saved, and disciples got saved, people got saved, and disciples were made, and it happened, and the next thing you know is there was an explosion that took place. And there was churches here, and a church here, and a church here, and a church everywhere. And then we go to Revelation, and you look at one of those churches, and Jesus says, you've lost your first love. You know? You lost your first... How did they lose their first love? They were blowing up. They were going great guns. They were going maximum. And then they became marginal because they lost their first love. And that's what I want to say is, as a church, we don't want marginal. We don't want to lose our first love. We've got to keep our first love. We need to stay in love with Christ, His Word, and His power. And some flashing lights and a smoke machine. Not really. That was a joke. Not saying there's anything wrong with the smoke machine. They're pretty cool sometimes. I mean, I'm into theatrics. How about you? But anyway, it's not a bad thing for churches to have special events and special things that happen. It's a good thing. I mean, it's a really good thing. But really what's more important than anything is for a church, a local church, to be a group of people called out believers that are in the process of sanctification. Man, I'll take that over a petting zoo any day. He made a petting zoo sound trivial. No, I think petting zoos are fun. I do. But sanctification is where it's at. And if we don't know that, then only we have to trust God's word and believe that. And so what I want to say is there's a thing that's going on now, right now, and I really find it troubling. I really do. And you'll say, you find this troubling, what I'm getting ready to say. You find it troubling because you're a pastor, and pastors are supposed to find this troubling because pastors want people to come to church where pastors have a job. I'm just going to tell you, pastor or no pastor, I've got a job. And whatever Christian, you have a job too, and that's to reach souls and that kind of thing. So this is not me trying to keep a job. It's not. What I'm getting ready to say is there's a troubling thing happening right now where people go, I don't need the church. That church is hurting me. That church is requiring stuff out of me. And the church is affecting my life adversely. And I just want to say that the church was actually, a local church was actually, the idea of it was put together by Jesus himself. You're going to tell me that something that Jesus himself created is something that we don't need. Okay. You can think that all you want, but I'm not going that direction. And what I want to tell you is what needs to be happening here at this church and what needs to be happening in our lives is the church needs to be the place that brings forth this thing called sanctification. And it can't happen because a preacher said so. It only happens when every last one of us, however many it is, every last one of us enters into this process of sanctification. And when that happens, we will return to our first love and we'll see churches blow up, like in the book of Acts. No, not anymore, not in today's society. Listen, this world is so dark that when they really see Jesus, there's going to be some people go, there it is, that's what I was looking for, that's it. You believe that? I do too. In closing, Ephesians 4:11 through 16. Ephesians 4:11 through 16. And brothers and sisters, this is to a local New Testament church right here, what's being said. It was He who gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, that is to build up the body of Christ, until we all attain the unity of the faith of the knowledge of the Son of God, a mature person attaining to the measure of Christ's full stature. So we are no longer to be children tossed back and forth by waves and carried about by every wind of teaching by the trickery of people who craftily carry out their deceitful schemes. But practicing the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Christ, who is the head. From him the whole body grows, fitted and held together through every supporting ligament. As each one does its part, the body grows in love. This is the process of sanctification through a local New Testament church right there. That's what we are being challenged to do today. Sanctification in your life individually and sanctification as a church body. Why? Well, we can all grow up together in love. Not something where I don't need the church anymore, it hurt me. No, where we grow up into something where God does something wonderful and we actually finally get to that point where we're mature enough to be that Porsche driving down the road instead of that Pinto. Sorry about the car analogies. I'm just a guy. It's the way it works. At least it wasn't sports today, right? All right, let's all stand. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your many blessings, Lord. I thank you that we could be in your house today. Lord, I thank you for the ones who faithfully were here today. Lord, I hope that your word was speaking to their hearts today, and Lord, it challenged their hearts. And Lord, we want you to make the changes in our lives that you want to make. We want you to be in charge of our lives. We want you to truly be our Lord as you are. We need to recognize that. Father, I pray, and Lord, I always want to pray that if there's somebody here today that doesn't know you as their Savior, Lord, I pray that today that your Spirit will convict them and they'll be saved. And Father, I pray that you will let us be the church that's actually operating in a maximum way, and we're doing the things that please you, and we're operating in your power through your Spirit and obeying your word. Father, we just want to, in our lifetime, want to really be a part of what you're doing. We want to grow. Lord, we want to have a life that actually is full instead of one that's wanting. So, Father, we ask that you be in charge of this church today. And Lord, I pray that you'll be in charge of each person's life right now. And Lord, if they need salvation or anything, Lord, I pray that they will surrender to you right now. I ask these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Thanks for joining us for our morning service. If you reside in Midland or surrounding areas, we hope to see you in person. We are located at 1305 North Midland Drive, north of Cuthbert and south of the Andrews Highway. We are also distributing DVDs of The Life of Jesus. If you would like a copy, send us an email with your return address. Our email address is ahbcmidland@suddenlinkmail.com. Have a great week, and may God bless.